Now, I want you to imagine we've been on some sort of time travel. We're in the future and we're at Windsor Park. We are hoping that those players out on the field are going to help us qualify for the World Cup. And the commentator is there and he's running through the team sheet and he's talking about the players from clubs like Manchester United, Glasgow Celtic, Blackburn Rovers. There's a few players from the lower leagues as well who've made it onto this team. And he's describing the players and he's giving us their names. And he's emphasising that there's a number five who qualifies to play for Syria on the parentage rule. There's a young lad there who's playing midfield. He could have played for Poland, but no, he's playing for us. There's a few people who have Lithuanian parentage as well, Romanians. There's a guy who could have played, the goalkeeper could have been playing for Romania in the World Cup, but no, he's playing for us. And we're standing there at Windsor Park with all these professional players. And the commentator mentions in the next game, we're away to Germany, but our third game will be a home game, and it will be at the Aviva Stadium. Are you with me here? It is Windsor Park, and they are pausing now for the anthem. Could it happen in the future? Let me speak to sports writer Stephen Beacom. Stephen, good morning.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Stephen. You can follow the picture that I'm painting here. And the reason that I'm asking the question is very simple. We've missed out. Northern Ireland have missed out. The Republic of Ireland have missed out. Teams like Germany and Brazil, they are there. They have one panel of players from far bigger countries. We have two panels of players and we both almost got there. Is it not common sense for future generations of football fans to have one team a bit like the Blimmin' Rugby?
Frank, I'll tell you now that this debate, it always comes up after one of the Irish teams has had a really bad result. It happened whenever Northern Ireland weren't exactly strong, and obviously it's coming up this morning because the Republic had a terrible result against Denmark last night, beaten 5-1 in the World Cup playoff in Dublin, and I know all the Republic fans are feeling really bad about that. The bottom line is, though, Frank, Northern Ireland and the Republic did extremely well to reach the World Cup playoffs in the first place. And Northern Ireland were one dodgy penalty decision away from Russia. And it was a world-class ability, I'm sure you'll agree, of Christian Eriksen, who took the game away from the Republic. He was just immense last night. But it's only a couple of years ago, it's only last year, actually, that Northern Ireland and the Republic were both in the Euro 2016 finals. And what an achievement that was. The fans were so great, both sets of fans, that they actually received an award from UEFA for how they behaved and how they created great atmospheres over in France. And for me, it's far better to have two Irish teams in a tournament than one. And I'll tell you this as well, FIFA over the next few years are going to actually extend the World Cup. So you just won't have 32 teams in it anymore. You're going to have possibly up to 40, maybe even more, because they want this to become the biggest tournament ever. Like UEFA have done with the European Championships. In terms of the political aspect of it, in football, for FIFA, it certainly can't happen at the moment because they see Northern Ireland and the Republic as two separate countries. For them, bringing Northern Ireland and the Republic together right now would be akin to bringing Spain and Portugal together. And so from a FIFA standpoint, it's not going to happen at this particular moment in time.
But Stephen, for future generations, and I emphasise this by, you know, the line out of my imaginary team had young people playing for, young men playing for it who could qualify to play for Syria or Lithuania or Poland or Romania. So you can see where I am with this. I'm talking about future generations in this part of the world, and they would have, if we were able to select either Darren Randolph or Michael McGovern for the next game. If we were able maybe to have the midfield reinforced by James McLean, who wouldn't find it difficult to play with players from north of the border. If we could have Shane Long maybe as an alternative, if there was a striker coming through in the Republic, I know they're searching for a new one and we're searching for one as well, but if some striker does come through, he's from Northern Ireland, he's from the Republic of Ireland, but he's available to everyone in a future setup, we would have a stronger team. We've hamstrung ourselves in terms of ultimate success by entering two teams into the competition.
It stands to reason, Frank, that if you have more players to select from, you would like to think you would have a better team. But the bottom line is that Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland are seen as two different countries by FIFA. They're seen as two different associations by FIFA. I guess the best example of where you're coming from is with East and West Germany. They used to be two different countries, and then Germany became just one big Germany, and then it became the German national team where people from East Germany and people from West Germany played together. But that the whole All-Ireland football team will only ever happen if you have an All-Ireland in terms of the politics of it all.
But so, do you really need the politics of it all? Because we're able to do it at rugby, at cricket, at hockey, and we don't have a united Ireland. So do we really need the politics to be involved in this at all? Can we not be mature enough for future generations to see it in sporting terms? I think you're a bit like me, Stevie. You love supporting Northern Ireland. I love supporting Northern Ireland. If I actually was making the choice tomorrow, I would still want there to be Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland in terms of two football teams, because I love following Northern Ireland, and I'm sure there are people who equally love following the Republic who don't want to take the Northern Ireland issue, the Northern Ireland team, or indeed the Northern Ireland issue, into the equation. But if we just look at it in terms of football for future generations, is the onus not on us to try and move the sporting element of it forward?
Well, there is that element to it, Frank, where, you know, as I said before, you'd have a better chance of qualifying for tournaments. But listen, Northern Ireland were a dodgy penalty away from qualifying for the World Cup. So Northern Ireland fans will tell you, well, we don't need Republic of Ireland players. And you can understand that given the campaign they've just had. And also from the Republic's point of view, if Christian Eriksen was injured last night, for example, they might have done something against Denmark. If the tactics were a little bit different, they might have done something against Denmark. You have two teams here, and I think they've come on leaps and bounds under Michael O'Neill and Martin O'Neill, and I would like to see them continue that progress under both of those gentlemen, and I believe that that can happen. Euro 2020 finals, Frank, I will be surprised if both Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland aren't there, because it is an easier tournament to qualify for than the World Cup. And if they do that, then they can go into the next World Cup campaign with great confidence. And I believe, listen, both of them can be there. In about 10 or 12 years' time, they will be there, because FIFA are going to expand their own tournament. So you've got loads and loads of more European nations in the World Cup. So you're going to see Northern Ireland and the Republic in World Cups in the future years. You don't need an All-Ireland team for that, I can guarantee it.
The elephant in the room, of course, is the fan base, isn't it? We just couldn't have the Northern Ireland fan base and the Republic fan base going hand in hand, cheering the players on the field on. That's where the difficulty actually lies. There's another issue whereby the suits want to have the power, and they want the IFA and they want the FAI. So we're continuing to look at it, and my love of supporting Northern Ireland, someone else's love of supporting the Republic of Ireland, we continue to look at it through selfish eyes. So we're not thinking for the future. We haven't got the maturity in a footballing soccer world that rugby people have, that cricketers have, that hockey aficionados have.
Well, let's go into the realms of fantasy here and say there is an All-Ireland football team in 10 years. Where are they going to play? Who's going to manage the team? And then there'll be all sorts of bother from both sides.
Well, I touched on that at the beginning, at the very beginning. I said there'd be a match at the Aviva, a match at Windsor. There'd be home. They'd have two home venues. So that's all very doable.
Well, I would say as well that I know from speaking to Northern Ireland fans about this issue over the years, they just want their own team. And Republic of Ireland fans will feel the same. Republic of Ireland fans are obviously very down today because they've just got hammered by Denmark. But listen, if Martin O'Neill stays there, they will come again. I've no doubt about that. Martin O'Neill is one of the best managers I've ever dealt with, you know. And you have to remember as well that the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland picked from that small base. So for them to get to the World Cup playoffs was fantastic. And they can go one better the next tournament. I'm certain about that because they've got the character, they've got the desire, and this disappointment that both nations have had over the past few days is going to drive those players on. I truly believe that. And I say, Frank, I would prefer to have Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland competing in major tournaments rather than just one of them.
I know, some people shouting at the radio, if we only had the one team, we could win the darn thing.
Well, it wouldn't, I've got to be honest. Even an All-Ireland team would do well to reach the quarterfinals, I can tell you that now, because you've got teams like Brazil and Germany. Germany in particular are far and away the best team in the world. I think by the time the World Cup comes around, Brazil are going to be very strong. France are going to have a good shot at it, Spain as well. It's going to be fascinating watching this World Cup because we don't really have Northern Ireland and the Republic. We're going to be watching England and kind of laughing whenever they go out in the last 16 on penalties or something like that. I think I might support Australia because I have family over there, and I'd love to see Lionel Messi maybe win the World Cup because ultimately he's the greatest player I've ever seen. I think that would be brilliant. But unfortunately, Northern Ireland and the Republic won't be there. The tournament will be worse off for that in terms of the players and certainly in terms of the fans, because both the Northern Ireland fans and the Republic supporters would have been brilliant for that tournament, that have lit up Russia with their singing, their crack, their atmosphere. And hopefully come 2022, Northern Ireland and the Republic will both in the World Cup final.
Stephen, always a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Sports writer, sports broadcaster, Stephen Beacom. I want to speak to a man who wrote a book about this very topic, and he's on next.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Conversation for you.
Would we have a better chance of success if we just had one Irish soccer team? That's the question we're asking this morning. Cormac Moore is available to speak to us. Cormac, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
The author of the book, The Irish Soccer Split. Cormac, give us a potted history. I don't need every page of the book, but give us a potted history of how we got to here.
Yeah, well, the IFA was founded in 1880. It was an all-Ireland body, so it served the whole of Ireland. But in 1921, the Leinster Football Association split from the IFA and a few months later formed the Football Association of Ireland, the FAI. And as a result, there has been a split in soccer since 1921. Now, there have been a number of attempts to heal that split, particularly in the 1920s and early 1930s, but also, very notably, during the Troubles. There were a number of talks between the IFA and FAI in the 70s and early 80s to have not necessarily one association, but an all-Ireland team. And there was about 9 or 10 conferences between the FAI and IFA to have one All-Ireland team in the 70s and 80s.
Is it possible for FIFA to allow us to have one team while we have two separate governments?
Yeah, no, I was listening to your conversation with Stephen there. When it comes to logic and it comes to reasonable decisions, FIFA is probably not the best organisation to talk about. So, of course, it's possible. FIFA can bend and change the rules, as it always has done. Now, it does say in the statute that an association must be a political entity. But obviously there are four associations from the United Kingdom, and they're allowed to be the different associations. It's also allowed Gibraltar to be in tournaments, and that doesn't have a political status. So there's absolutely no question that FIFA could change the rules and, you know, say this is for progress and peace in Ireland, to have one All-Ireland team. I don't buy that argument that it has to be one political entity to be an association.
I was speaking at the beginning of the programme about some time away in the future when we may have young lads playing for Northern Ireland, Ireland, call them whatever, for Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland, or away in the future, maybe Ireland, who would also qualify to play for Syria or Poland, Lithuania, Romania, Portugal or whoever because of just the developing background against which everyone is now growing up. So there will be changes in the future. There will be political progress. There will be a difference in terms of the shape of Europe. So the Irish footballing arena could change.
Absolutely, yeah, of course, our demographics have changed totally in the last 20 years. So, yeah, there is. Like, even last night, one of the Denmark players, I think his name is Sisko, he was born in Uganda, was a Sudanese refugee, grew up in Denmark, and is a full Denmark citizen and played for Denmark. So, yeah, we are going to see more of that happening. Look, the future, who knows what the future holds. And I do think, although both teams were close in qualifying for the World Cup, I do think in the future it is going to be more difficult for the Irish teams to qualify because there are less and less players from Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland playing for the Premier League in England as there would have been in the 70s and 80s. If you look at the who's who of who's on the Irish and the Northern Irish teams, it was full of players from Arsenal, Manchester United, or Liverpool and so on. That's not going to happen in the future. And even on Stephen's point about, say, the World Cup, it is going to be increased to 40 teams, it looks like. But there are going to be very few extra places allocated to Europe. Most of those extra places are going to be allocated to Asia and Africa, who have obviously very few places considering the amount of countries in their federations.
So you feel that common sense would be to follow the template of cricket, hockey, rugby, but football is such a different sport. And the fan base cannot be ignored. Number one, because we love following the team we've chosen. We absolutely feel devoted to either Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland. Number two, there's just history between the fans and they don't easily walk hand in hand, as I said earlier. But for future generations, do we have to get over that?
Oh, we do have to get over that. I don't think it's as big an issue for Republic of Ireland fans, I would imagine. And there was even a poll on Monday night on the Clareborn Live on RTE, and I think over 70% would have liked to see an All Ireland team. That was from fans in the Republic of Ireland mainly. It's very different from Northern Ireland. Of course, there definitely are tensions and have been, bad history between sets of fans. That has improved though, it has definitely improved. Since the early 2000s, there still are a lot of tensions there. I don't think an All Ireland team is going to happen overnight. A lot of work has to be done. I believe it is being done in certain areas. We're a long way off from there being an All-Ireland team right now.
The office bearers aren't going to work towards it either, are they? Because they lose their positions.
Well, as I mentioned at the start of our conversation, there were talks between the IFA and FAI in the 70s, just during the Troubles. So I don't believe that necessarily has to be the case either. Many people have said, both associations don't want to lose their jobs, lose their perks. And what was agreed, or what wasn't agreed, but what was discussed quite strongly as well, was to remain two associations, but that there will be one team representing Ireland. So the two associations will have a lot of their framework still intact, their jobs still intact, but there will be one All-Ireland team. That was suggested. I think the FAI would be more open to an All-Ireland side and have said so openly many times before than the IFA. But I don't think it's beyond the reams of possibility that both might consider it. And particularly, it does come down to success. If we are starved of success in tournaments, of getting to tournaments, then I think it should be looked at. It definitely should be considered. And I think that is what's going to be the future of both Irish teams.
One final question to you, Cormac, just on the football. If we were basing it on the World Cup campaign and we only had one team, which of the O'Neills would be the manager?
God, that's a tough question. Martin O'Neill has done a good job. I think there was a few mistakes he's made along the way. If you look to where Republic of Ireland were, at this time last year, after beating Austria away, we were top of the group. It was looking very, very healthy for us to qualify straight. And our home form really let us down, no question about it. But Michael O'Neill, has done an absolutely phenomenal job over the last... If I was having a vote, I actually probably might give it to Michael O'Neill. I think it's going to be very difficult for Michael O'Neill to for Northern Ireland to retain Michael Neal. I think a lot of big clubs in England might be looking after him.
Absolutely. Cormac, good to speak to you. If people do want to read the whole history, the Irish Soccer Split, the book is available. Thanks for coming on, Cormac.
Thank you, Frank.
That's Cormac Moore, writer and journalist. Good morning to you, 90333105. So, is it the way to guarantee success to have an All-Ireland football team? Let me speak to a man who raised some issues about this on Twitter last night. By the way, it was actually Carl Nicoline from Sinn Féin. It was the first person yesterday I saw tweeting it, saying, find exactly what she said. She said, time for an All-Ireland soccer team. That's what she said. And almost immediately after that, Jimmy Bryson came on and he said, how on earth could two sovereign nations form into one national team? Ridiculous and inflammatory, that suggestion. Jimmy, do you stand over that?
Well, naturally, yes.
How do you, when we have rugby and we have hockey and we have cricket and we have the two separate countries?
Well, rugby was always a provincial setup, so after partition, rugby continued on as it was because it was always done in provinces. But Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland are two distinct different countries, two distinct different identities. And therefore they play international football. Each has their own international team. It's a nonsense to suggest that the two should merge. But look, Kyle McCullough's tweet and Sinn Féin's agenda on this is overtly political, in my view, and it's all about the harmonisation of the people on this island to work towards their goal of unifying everything, and that includes sport and economics, security of everything. But if Sinn Féin want to say that it's not political, so if we take that out of it and we say there's no political agenda, then the logic would be that it's simply a sporting call. Colin McCullough wants the best for the sporting teams, and therefore the logic of a position is if two teams are in close proximity to each other, then they should merge because they would have a better chance. So, you know, if we follow that through, well, does she want Cliftonville and Crusaders to merge? Linfield and Glentoran? Bangor and Arch, well, they all just merged together into single teams. And that's what nonsense, and it's a political tweet, and it was done to be inflammatory, and that's obviously the effect that it's had.
But are those examples of merging clubs not a bit daft when you think that we already
No more daft than merging two countries.
Yes, but when you think that we already have, as we've said, the rugby, the hockey and the cricket. Have you ever attended a rugby match? Have you ever watched at the Aviva? Have you spent a Saturday afternoon excited by the Ireland rugby team?
Well, no, I haven't, and I have no interest in rugby or hockey or anything else. I'm a football man. I support football. That's my sport. And no, I haven't ever supported an Ireland rugby team or hockey team, and I certainly would not be supporting an All-Ireland football team.
Yeah, but on the rugby, because you are a sporting man, you do organise buses to go, I think, with, is it Donaghadee Football Club to various junior cup games and whatever. So you're very much into sport. You're not just into politics, you're into sport. Surely, when Ireland are playing in the Six Nations, and some of the finest, and I'll say this because it's you that's on, Jimmy, some of the finest Ulster men are playing for Ireland. Do you not get a buzz from that?
Well, for a start, I've never watched a rugby match in my life, and I wouldn't get a buzz of anybody playing for Ireland, so no, I don't. Rugby doesn't interest me. I couldn't even tell you what, obviously I've heard of the Six Nations, but if you ask me to explain what are the Six Nations, you couldn't even tell you what it is. I remember having to ask somebody a while ago who told me a dollar of theirs had made it into a certain type of league in rugby, and I didn't even understand the difference between the two, so I don't know anything about it. It's double dutch to me.
But do you not, Jamie, stand up for the Ulster men?
Well, that's a ridiculous question. What do you mean, do I not stand up for the Ulster men?
The Ulster rugby team, when they're playing as a province, do you?
Well,
I've just told you
that I don't support rugby. I don't watch rugby. So the logic of your follow-on question is beyond deeply flawed. It's a nonsense. How would I be supporting a provincial rugby team when I couldn't even tell you what way the rugby system works? I couldn't tell you anything about the game. I don't know anything about it.
Would it not give you...
If you've seen the size of me, I'm not exactly the man that would be would be fitting for a rugby game. So, no, I've never been into rugby, so I don't know why we're focusing on that. I thought this discussion was about the potential or Colin the Collins' call for an All-Ireland football team, so I don't know why we're bogged down and talking about rugby.
No, there would be a position for you, actually, on a rugby team. Sometimes they need a flying lightweight, there is no doubt.
But I'm not too quick either.
But the reason that I'm saying this is there's a tried and tested formula with those three sports that I've mentioned. I'm not even going to mention Gaelic sport because I know you won't want me to. So I'm just focusing on rugby, on hockey, and on cricket. Maybe you should have a closer look at how successful it is, where the fans are united in sport, and they're not in any way sullied by politics. Now, I know you'll be saying that this is what Carolyn Coulon's agenda is, and I invited her on the programme and she wasn't available. But there'll be many people who will believe it is time to put out the best team. And the best team may be 11 fellas picked from 22 right across, or even more than 22, right across the panels of Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland to go further in the World Cup. Surely when you head off to a junior cup game with Donaghadee, it's about winning. It's about doing well. It's about coming home with the silverware. If we're going to have something to cheer, we're going to need to have a better team. And preventing the splitting of those two panels into two, bringing them together as footballers, will make us get closer to the Holy Grail.
Well, so you articulate the argument that it's purely for sporting reasons.
That's how I look at football, Jimmy.
Well, should I then go, and you used the example of my Donaghadee team, should I then go and approach Bangor and say, I think we'd be a lot better off if the two of us joined together? That's the logic of what you're saying. If two teams are in close proximity to each other, they should merge together. So there you go. What, should Cliftonville and Crusaders merge together?
But do you really believe what you're saying, Jimmy? Do you really believe the old bunkum you're coming out with there?
No more so than the nonsense you're coming out with. Should Crusaders and Cliftonville join together and call themselves North Belfast United? Because for purely sporting reasons. You know, why not merge? Because they would have a better choice of players. They would have a better support base. Why not merge? Same argument.
Would you take the suggestion that maybe over the next 6 months or so, certainly during the Six Nations and when the summer comes round, a proper look at the cricket and the hockey guys and other sports as well. I'm almost certain basketball is along those lines as well. Maybe just from the broadening of your horizons, have a look at those sports. See how successful they are. See how the fan base can really get a kick from the joy of success in all of those sports at times. And amazing the progress that cricket has made in recent times. And we could marry that with the success on the football field that would take us a wee bit further than the threshold that we've got to before we stumbled.
Well, I don't know how many times I have to say this or how many different ways you want me to say this. I support my country, Northern Ireland, playing international football as a distinct national team. I do not want to see my country merged with a separate foreign jurisdiction, which actually within the next couple of years will even be outside, one part of it will be outside of the EU. There'll be an EU land border between the two, so that's even more nonsensical. But I do not want to see my country merged with another country. I want our distinct national identity kept. And I want us to proceed on that basis. So it's not a case of broadening my horizons or looking at the success. I couldn't care less if the joining of the two teams would win us the World Cup, because how much do you sacrifice your own national identity, the national identity of your team, just for success? And I use a club example. If somebody came to me and said, well, you know, Bangor Football Club, an Irish League club, said to me, look, we're going to take Donaghadee and we're just going to bring them into our ranks, but look, you'll have all the success. I wouldn't do that. Why would you sell your own identity and your own team just for success? That's a nonsense. So I will never support an All-Ireland football team until my dying day. I want there to be a distinct national team for each country, and we do have a distinct national team for each country. And of course, the perverse as they are, provisions in the Belfast Agreement allows players, if they're born in Northern Ireland, they should play for Northern Ireland, but however, they are allowed to say that we don't affiliate with Northern Ireland, we want to play for the Republic. So if anybody wants to attend in an All-Ireland team, anybody born in Northern Ireland can play for the Republic. So we do have an All-Ireland team. Anybody that wants to proceed down that path can. There is an All-Ireland team.
Jimmy,
if you're born in Belfast, you can play for the Republic. There is an All-Ireland team.
Tell me this, are you still in the Junior Cup or did you lose your match?
We lost. Very good side. Yeah. Perfect.
Did many go on the bus? I saw you were trying to organise a bus to it.
Yes, we had a good week out. Good day out.
Good stuff. Jimmy, I'm not going to convince you, but thanks for coming on the programme. Thank you.
Take care, thanks.
Cheers now. Bye-bye. So that is a very important perspective, because people like Jimmy would never even consider the idea of an All-Ireland football team, because he immediately links it to politics. Are there many people like that? There probably are. 90-333-105. I'll hear from you very shortly.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Joe is on line one. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Frank.
Joe, we're asking the question this morning, would we have a better chance of success if we had one football team in Ireland?
Well, we obviously would, Frank. No, statistics prove that we would. But in my lifetime and your lifetime, it's never going to happen. Your previous callers, I think, got it. There would have to be Ireland as a whole united again for a united team. That's probably never going to happen. I was at the match. I've been supporting the Republic of Ireland for 30, 35 years now, and I go to all the games. I was at the match last night, and you're like Jamie Bryson there, your previous caller. I know, never in a million years, Jamie Bryson would have a heart attack and keel over and die if he was at that football match last night. The national anthem alone, right, has never been sang like that before. And for Jamie Bryson, it would be hard for him to stoink that. And likewise, Frank, it would probably be hard. You go to the Northern Ireland games, right? I don't know, you'd be slightly different. I don't know why you've been to a Republic game. But if I went, I would love to go to a Northern Ireland game, right? But I'm sure there's things, I don't mean the national anthem, right? But see the whole Ulster in your face thing, right? And the whole flags and flutes and stuff like that. But likewise, on the other side of the coin, it's the exact same in the Aviva Stadium. There's offensive banners and there's offensive songs, right? Now, add that in the equation of, will there be a team in the future? I don't think so, Frank, to be honest.
Is it really the immaturity of the football fan? Is that the reason we can't be like the mature rugby people, hockey people, cricketers and so on? As football people, we come from a lower base.
Not really, Frank. No. The difference, as one difference, rugby in the Aviva Stadium, right, will be... It is a different style of people, right? As for instance, if you're a football fan in the Aviva Stadium, you're allowed to buy a drink, you're not allowed to bring it to your seat. If you're a rugby fan, you're allowed to buy a drink, but you can bring it to your seat. You can actually bring six drinks to your seat, right? So the most class rugby as a higher class of person or a higher class of people, but I personally don't, right? I think soccer worldwide is the biggest sport in the planet, and therefore it's focused on more and all sorts of things. But I really don't believe, I would love to see it, man, but I really don't believe there'd be an All-Ireland team until there's an All-Ireland country again.
We don't have to have a United Ireland for it. Politically, we don't have to have a United Ireland.
I know, but it's okay saying that we don't have to, Frank. And you can say FIFA can bend the rules and do this and all that, right? But on the ground, right, as in fans, as in two sides of a country, you know, and I hate to agree with Jamie Bryson the same, but he got some points right. No, he classes himself as British. He will never go to an Ireland match and feel comfortable, right? And even if it turned out that there was, you'd see in the end of the team something else, the unity of Ireland, right? And it was an all-one team and a different national anthem, right? The logistics of it, no, they would play in Dublin, they would play in Windsor Park, and there'll always be the division here, right? And thankfully, and hopefully, right, our kids growing up will change all that. But you're talking 30, 40 years away.
Even with Jamie, knowing Jamie's history and his protests and whatever, were you not surprised that Jamie couldn't find it in his mind, really, to say he would wish the Ireland team well in the Six Nations?
You know yourself, Frank, it doesn't surprise anybody. There's no surprises there.
Some of the finest unionists who ever put on a jersey played for the Ireland team.
Arlene Foster couldn't go to an Ireland match. So if the leader, or so-called leader, of Stormont or of our north of Ireland, right, if she couldn't stomach going to a football match, right, and represent both sides, well, what chance have we got?
But she wouldn't have a problem going to a rugby match.
wouldn't have a problem going to a rugby match, but she didn't. The point was she didn't go to a Republic of Ireland game, right? Martin McGuinness went to both games, right? Now, leadership is 30, 40 years away, right? Before that happens. But to be honest, in my own opinion, Frank, and my gut feeling is that with the previous caller, the first caller this morning says, it would have to be a united Ireland for a united team.
Okay, Joe, thank you. John is on line three. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Frank. Is Jimmy Brayton still with you there?
No, Jimmy's gone.
Okay, all right. I was going to say he's a bit of a Jonah in reality, isn't he?
In what way?
Well, he's unelectable. He stood for election. He was a laughing stock. He asked for money during his election. He got pittance from his constituency that he was standing for. He stood for Ruth Patterson as her electoral manager, I believe, and she was all electable. You know, it's no wonder Northern Ireland aren't doing well with supporters like that. Jonah, absolute Jonah.
But is that fair? Because, you know, Jamie is a massive Northern Ireland fan. He's even been a Northern Ireland mascot. He has been the person, I'm almost certain on occasions, who has been dressed up and dancing about as a super fan in the past. He's entitled to support his football team regardless of his politics, but he doesn't seem to be able to look at other sports because of his politics.
I have to agree with you with the mascot and the clown thing, because he is a bit of a clown, isn't he? I do agree with that now. There's no two ways about that. That's one thing I could definitely say he is a clown.
Do you not accept he's an exceptionally articulate young man who appears in the media and who broadcasts or delivers his point in a very succinct way?
I have to say, yeah, he has a good vocabulary. There's no doubt about that. But he's not, you know, he's tried elections. The people that he says he talks for laughed at him. They told him, "Look, listen, kid, take yourself off. You're not here to represent us." Although he does get a lot of airtime on radios and TV shows like yourself and your competitor on Radio Ulster. But at the same time, you know, I think that the lad had to look at himself in the mirror and say, you know, I might have a good face for radio. Maybe forget about the TV.
But John, what about the football? Because it's not meant to be a morning where we bash contributors. How do you see the future in relation to Irish football?
Truthfully, I think Northern Ireland done themselves very proud. They played extremely well. There's no two ways about it. And under the leadership of Michael O'Neill.
But will we have a better team if we had just one team? This is the point that we're making.
I would say that would be very obvious.
And would you be fully supportive of it?
100%, yes, 100% down the line. And as I say, when Northern Ireland play, I like to see Northern Ireland do well. I like to see them win, absolutely, as I do the Republic of Ireland. I'm not a bigot. I'm not sectarian in any way. And politics should never, in any way whatsoever, come into sport.
Okay, John, thank you. It's hard to keep it out of sport, however, when we're talking about the national teams in Ireland. Tony's got a point. Good morning, Tony.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, Tony.
Frank, we'd just like to congratulate both teams on getting to where they did. They both played extremely well. But my point is that the FIA, Football Association of Ireland, are actually paying the grassroots coaches who look after the smaller teams a payment of, I believe, to be £163 a fortnight. So they're going to be more at a higher level than our kids, and the future Northern Ireland players won't be at the same level as the Republic as such, because the best coaches that they have in Ireland are going to want to go and get their badges because they're going to get paid for it. Up here, the guys do a good job. All the coaches, I understand that. But financial terms don't dictate. Everybody can go and be a coach because of maybe they need to do overtime for Christmas and things like that there. So I believe Northern Ireland Stars of the future might be left behind a little bit compared to our predecessors in Republic.
But are paid coaches that important? Are volunteer coaches not equally important at the lowest level?
They are, but there's a lot of good coaches out there, Frank, who can't afford to come and coach because they maybe need to work later because of the price of houses and cost of living that they actually can't afford. They would love to do it, but they can't afford to do it because of a wife and kids and things like that. They just can't afford to do it. Life is extremely hard for people right now. Cost of living, houses, mortgage, you name it. So there's people out there, if they could afford to stay and get overtime for buying things for their wife and kids, they'll do that. That's what they'll do. So we're missing out a lot on that.
Okay, Tony, should emphasise, of course, that some wives are actually out coaching the young fellows. There are some very capable female coaches who are coaching young boys. I'm very aware of one specific coach in the North Down area who gives a lot of her time to teaching up-and-coming young stars. Dale's got a point. Good morning, Dale.
Hi there, Frank. Hi, I'm just going to re-ring up. It was just regarding, obviously, what Jamie said and stuff. I was listening to it there. Basically, football has always, you know, predominantly been a working class sport. In terms of, I'm not saying, you know, but in terms of education and things like that, lower class, working class areas have always played football. They've never really had the choice. At my school, we didn't have a rugby team. We didn't have a cricket team. We've always played football. So it's always been sort of working class areas that followed the international football team. Obviously, you know, the IFF have done superb work over the year, Football for All campaign, Michael Boyd run, get rid of all sectarianism, so it wouldn't be nothing to do with that, but it's more the term of football fans are a lot more nationalist in terms, not in terms of nationalist republic, and in terms of national identity. You look at the German team, they're so patriotic, the English, the Scottish, the Welsh, us and the Republic, we're all very, very nationalist in terms of being proud of our own identity. I'd be worried about the fans of Northern Ireland not accepting it at all, and basically if an All-Ireland team came in, it would completely marginalise sort of the working class areas in Northern Ireland. Fair enough, it might make a lot more Republican areas, national areas go, but the sort of loyalist unionist areas would feel maybe they're not welcome anymore. I know in terms of Ulster, I would go to the old Ulster game, and I've been to a few Ireland games myself in terms of rugby, but it is a different sort of feeling there. It does seem a lot of upper class people do go. Where I'm from in East Belfast, you wouldn't get a lot of people from the Nightmarge Road or from Sydenham or going to the rugby, because they wouldn't sort of feel out of place, essentially.
You know, Dale, you make some points there that's very hard to argue with, especially your analysis of the average Northern Ireland football fan and the Republic of Ireland football fan. I think you're very much on the money. Thanks, Dale. Thank you. We're going towards the news at 10 o'clock. If you didn't get through, listen, really appreciate, we have to move to other topics, but really appreciate your input on this morning. I think a one Ireland team is a long way off, but most people are in agreement that if we had one team, we'd probably get further.
Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.